your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, as we continue in our series in the Gospel of Mark. Today we're in Mark chapter 6. We're looking at verses 7 through 13, at the advance of the kingdom, how Jesus has sent us to make disciples. And last week we looked at Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. We looked at how that Christ is offensive to those who do not believe. How Christ is offensive because the gospel is offensive, that God sent his Son into the world who died on a cross in our place for our sins. And we looked at how the offense of the gospel is the glory of Christ, that when we make disciples, when others become Christians, that we are glorifying Christ because we're glorifying that he had come into the world to save sinners. And so today we're going to look at Mark chapter 6, verses 17 through 13, if you'd follow along with me in your Bibles. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful today for your word to us from Mark chapter 6 here. We're thankful that, Father, that you show us your Son, Jesus Christ, and show us how he wanted us to be a church and to be on mission, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, that people everywhere should repent. And so, Father, as we hear your word this morning, that, Father, that we would just not hear it, but that, Father, that we would do your word, that we would follow it, that as we see Jesus having sent the 12 apostles, that we would understand that he has also sent us into the world to make disciples of all nations. And so, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. What is the purpose or vision or mission of North Stafford Baptist Church? What does this church, or any church for that matter, exist? Why do we gather together every Sunday morning to worship? Why do we study the Bible together? Why do we go support missions, reach out to our community, and share the gospel with other people? And what does any of those questions have to do with Jesus sending out the 12 disciples here in Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13? At the end of Mark 6:6, after leaving Nazareth, in our text that we looked at last week, after they had rejected him in his hometown, it says that Jesus went among the villages teaching, that he left Nazareth and he went among the villages teaching about the kingdom of God. And so he traveled around all these villages teaching them about the kingdom of God and telling people to repent and believe in the gospel. That was his message. That was the message that Mark tells us in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, that when Jesus started preaching and teaching, that's what he proclaimed. He proclaimed that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And so Jesus' intention from going from village to village was, his intention was to reach these communities by making disciples as he went about proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And so he went, he taught, and he modeled for his 12 disciples what they were to do. He showed them that the way for the kingdom to advance was to go and proclaim the good news, was to make disciples by calling people to repent and to teach them all that God had commanded. And in fact, this is exactly what Jesus says to his disciples on that mountain right before he ascends into heaven, when he gives them the Great Commission and says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. That's the Great Commission that he gave to his disciples in the church. He says, go and reach your community by proclaiming the good news, by calling people to repentance, by teaching them the Word of God to observe everything that I have commanded. In fact, here in the Great Commission and here in our text today, what we see is we're going to find a process of making disciples. We're going to see how Jesus makes disciples and how he's commissioned us as his people to make disciples. We'll see how the kingdom advances through this process. And how did Jesus make disciples? He made disciples by gathering them together, by growing them up in him, in his teaching, and by sending them out, or by going, telling them to go. And so he sent them out. That's what we're going to find here in our text, that he sent out the 12, the apostles, to go and proclaim the good news. And this gathering and this growing and this going, it's not three separate steps. It's not even necessarily something that we can separate. It's really things that we do all together. They happen all the time, because really it's a way of life for the disciple of Jesus to gather and grow and go. And so here we see in our text this morning that Jesus, that it involves the word sent. Think of the word sent. It involves Jesus. First of all, it involves Jesus being sent. Jesus was sent from the Father into our world. He put on flesh. He lived a perfect life. And he died on the cross for our sins. He was sent. That was his mission. His mission was to come and save sinners. And he did it by dying on the cross in our place. But as he was sent, Jesus said, we are sent. He says that in John, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And so he sends us out to make disciples. And so as we think of this word sent, it is what defines our gathering together, our growing in Christ, and our going to make disciples. It is how a disciple makes a disciple, by gathering, growing, and going, by being sent on the mission to make disciples. Jesus said this. He said, except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. This here is a kingdom principle that brings out this truth, that living in the kingdom comes by dying, that gaining in the kingdom comes by losing, and growing in the kingdom comes by being sent, by going, by being sent on the mission to make disciples. And so we see this formula in our text today, where sent equals gather, grow, and go, which equals making disciples. So the first thing we're going to see here in verse 7, that Jesus gathers disciples together in order that he might send them out to make disciples. And so in verse 7, we see that Jesus called the 12 together to send them out to mission. It says, and he called the 12, and he began to send them out. So he called the 12 together to send them out on a mission. And you know, this isn't the first time that Jesus called the 12 disciples, which are also called the apostles. We find that the first time he called them to gather together was in Mark chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, where it says, Jesus appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. So it's actually in Mark chapter 3 that he has called them together, that he has gathered them together. And isn't here until Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13, that initial calling bears fruit, that he has gathered them together. They have traveled around with him. He has taught them. And now he is sending them out as his representatives, as his messengers. In fact, that's what the word apostle means. It means messenger. And so he's sending them out as his messengers to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, to call people to repent and believe the gospel. And so Jesus has called the 12 together to send them out on mission. And so they came to Jesus, and he taught them, And he modeled for them the preaching of the kingdom and the making the disciples. And then here in our text, he called them specifically together for this task, to send them out two by two that they might proclaim the good news to the Jewish people. And so what that means for us today in the church is that Jesus, he calls believers together in a local body. He calls them together in a local body of Christ. He calls them together to be sent out, to be his messengers, to be his ambassadors to the community in which we live and beyond. To not only just be in this community of North Stafford or Stafford County or Northern Virginia or the state of Virginia or the country of the United States, but around the world, that he has called us to be his messengers to proclaim the good news. And he has done that first by gathering us together in this local body known as North Stafford Baptist Church. But he has gathered us together with the whole intention to send us out to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. The second thing we see here in verse 7 is that not only has he called them together, he sends the 12 out together two by two to be on mission. Two by two to be on mission. You know, the scouts have a rule. They do everything in twos, right? That they got to have a buddy. Same in the military. In the military we had in the Army, we had a battle buddy. You go together because when you're together, you can keep people safe. You can keep them out of trouble, right? And you can accomplish more that way. And so two by two, he sends them out to be on mission. Now this two by two was specific to this particular mission that Jesus sends them out on. And he probably does it for both practical and legal matters. The practical matter, it's safer. There's highwaymen on those highways who might rob them and beat them in that. And so when you travel by two, you're safer. But probably for legal reasons according to the Mosaic Law is what I'm talking about, that the Mosaic Law says that the testimony, that a witness is established by the testimony of two, that you need two witnesses to establish the truth of anything, right? To validate the truth of a message or to validate the truth of anything. That's what the Mosaic Law says. So he sends them out by two in order that they might be able to validate the message that Jesus gives them, the message of the good news of the kingdom of God. And so he says, he sends them out with that message, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. And as we think about this text and we think about the church, this two by two, again, that was specific to the mission that he sends out the apostles. But in the same way, the church today, we have a corporate nature when it comes to the witness of Jesus Christ. That's why he gathers us together as a church, because we're not Christians by ourselves outside of community. There are no Lone Ranger Christians, but it is together that we validate the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. As we live out our lives together and demonstrate the radical nature of the gospel, that we have been converted, that we have been changed, that we have been given a new life, that we're no longer the old man, but that we are a new man, that we have we've been given a new way to live, and it's together corporately that we validate the message that God in Jesus Christ has saved us and is transforming us and is conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. And so that's why it's important that every week we come together and gather together, because that is the corporate witness of a local body of Christ, as we gather together and validate the message by how we live our lives out in the body of this church. I read an article by a pastor who in this article was sharing how his daughter came to faith through the witness of his whole church. He says, it wasn't through my preaching, though I was hoping my preaching would bring my daughter to Christ. It wasn't through her mother and my parenting that my daughter came to know Jesus Christ. He said, rather, it was through the witness of the whole church, who loved her, who demonstrated the love of Jesus Christ, who encouraged her, who over and over shared the good news of Jesus Christ with her, who wrote her encouraging notes, who walked through with her through difficult times. It was the whole church that brought her to saving faith in Jesus Christ. You see, there's a corporate nature to the church, and there's a corporate nature to the witness of Jesus Christ. And while God doesn't necessarily send us out two by two, he sends us out, he gathers together that as the church, as the body, that we might proclaim and live out the good news of Jesus Christ, that we might be a witness to the world around us in that. And so the church is a way that we can make visible the invisible Christ, that we can make visible the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us in our lives. And that's very important. I want to say that again. We make visible the invisible Christ. You see, Christ is no longer walking on this earth like he did 2,000 years ago. And so we must make visible the invisible Christ. And we do that by a corporate witness. We do that by how we love one another and serve one another in Jesus Christ. In fact, the church, we're going to have an opportunity to serve one of our own on Monday to demonstrate that particular love. And I hope you can come out and be a part of that in any small way that you can do that as we demonstrate and witness to the radical nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Next, we see in our thing, not only does he send them out two by two and we make visible the invisible Christ together, but Jesus gave the 12 authority to authenticate that they're on the mission of God and that the gospel is true. He says he gave them authority here over the unclean spirits. Why did he do that? It was through, at that time, not only Jesus' miracles, but the ones that the apostles performed, that they validated the message. See, in Jewish society, this was an indication that this was from God, because only God could cast out unclean spirits. Only God could heal the sick and disease. Only God could raise the dead. And so this is one way that the message of good news was validated, by Jesus giving them this authority to cast out demons. And he not only gave them that authority, but he later gave them authority in the church. He gave them the authority so much that their teaching was to be the foundation of the building of the church. We see this in Ephesians, that the church was built on the teaching of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. And so Jesus gave the apostles authority, and that authority of the apostles to be his messengers, to proclaim the good news, to do good works, was passed on through the apostles to the church. And as a church, we are Christ's ambassadors. And we've been given authority to reconcile people to Jesus Christ. That's what it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we're Christ's ambassadors, and we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's the authority we have been given to reconcile people to Jesus Christ. And so the church and the Bible, which is the Word of God, our godliness, our love for one another, our living out our reconciled lives to God and one another, show that we have this authority to reconcile people to Jesus Christ, that we have the authority to proclaim. Now, God doesn't have specifically capital A apostles in the church today, but he still has small A apostles in the church, because that means he has messengers, and we're all messengers of the good news and have been given authority to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and reconcile others to him. And so we see here that Jesus has gathered disciples together in order that he might send them out to make disciples. But the second thing we see here in verses 8 through 11 is that Jesus grows disciples by sending them out to make disciples. That one way that he grows disciples is he sends them out to make disciples. And so the first thing we see here in verse 8, what we see is that he grows disciples through the gospel. He gave them this message, the message of the kingdom of God, to repent and believe in the gospel, to believe the gospel. And we see that from the beginning in chapter 1 of Mark, all the way up here to chapter 6, that was the message that Jesus proclaimed. That was the message he taught in the synagogues. That was the message he taught his apostles, this message that the kingdom of God is at hand, and believe the gospel. You see, that's how you grow disciples. That's how you make disciples, by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, like I said, this was the message on which the church was built, the apostles' teaching, which was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this is the message of the church to all nations. Repent and believe the good news. That's our message. Repent and believe the good news that Jesus Christ came and died for you. He died in your place and took God's wrath on him in your place, that you might have the forgiveness of sins. You see, it is the gospel that grows disciples, for it's the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It is the gospel that grows disciples, for by it God judges the secrets of men's hearts. And it is the gospel that grows disciples, for by it God might be just in the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Now, how does this happen? It happens, for now the righteousness of God has been manifested. How has the righteousness of God been manifested? It's been manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. That through Jesus Christ coming to this earth, through his living a perfect sinless life, and his death on a cross, and his resurrection from the dead, God has manifested his righteousness through Jesus Christ for all who believe. And there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so all of us are without excuse. All of us at one time, if we are believers, we're under sin. If we're not believers, we're still under the condemnation, the just condemnation of a holy God. For there is none righteous, no, not one. No one who seeks God, all have turned aside. No one does good, not even one. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And so those who do not believe will be judged justly by a just and holy Creator against whom they have sinned and walked in hostility and disobedience. But for those who believe, but for those who turn away from their sin, to those who trust in Jesus Christ, they are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God put forward as a propitiation. That's just a fancy word for being reconciled to God. Had he put forward as a propitiation for his blood to be received by faith. And so if you're still under the just condemnation of God, just turn away from your sin, repent and turn to him, and you will be forgiven of your sin. His grace is a gift. There's nothing we have to do to work for his salvation. He has done it all through Jesus Christ, and it's just to be received by faith in Jesus Christ. So you see, when a person, through the preaching of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, repents and puts their trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and follows him, they're saved from their sins and they're made right with God. You see, this is how a church makes disciples. Through the proclamation of the gospel. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The next thing we see here is that Jesus grows his disciples by sending his disciples out with the gospel. Look at our verse here. He tells them, verse 8, he charges them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. That's a walking stick. He take no bread, no bag, no money in their belts. And so take no travel bag or bag to put any of those things. He says to wear sandals, that means the common footwear, and not to put on two tunics. That means don't put on that extra tunic that you would wear at night if you were to sleep outside. That's what he's telling them. Just take one tunic with you. And so here we see Jesus giving his marching orders. He's giving out the mission order to his apostles. He says, take nothing for the journey. And so this here, what he's telling them is that you're going to have to depend on God's provision and his providence. That I want you to depend on God's provision and his providence. Not on how much money you have in your bag, how much food you're carrying along, or whether or not that you have a staff to protect yourself from those who might attack you. The second thing he says to them, when you enter a house, this is verse 10, stay there until you depart from there, and if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. And so the second thing we see here is he says, stay no longer than necessary. Don't wear out your welcome. If they reject you in the message, he says, leave and go on to the next place. Don't tarry there. And then the other thing he says is a part of that, he says, stay in the same place where they accept you until you depart. Where he's telling them there, if you come to a village, and you go to that village, and the first person that comes up to you says, you're welcome to stay in my house, but they're poor, and you go and stay in their house, but someone nicer with a nicer house and who's wealthier comes along and says, hey, come over to my house. He says, don't do that. That's wrong. Stay where you're at. Stay with the people who welcomed you initially. Don't go looking for greener pastures or a better place to live. That's not why you're there. You're not there to be comfortable. You're there to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So he says, stay in the place that you depart and grow where you're planted. And finally, he says, in saying only take these things with you or don't take these things, what he's saying is only take the essentials and leave behind the non-essentials. Only take the essentials and leave behind the non-essentials. And the only thing that is essential is the gospel. When we are sent out by Jesus Christ, the only thing that we have that we need that is essential is the gospel. Everything else is non-essential to making and growing disciples. They're nice things to have, but they're not essential to growing disciples. This facility is nice to have, is it not? It's wonderful, but it's not essential to growing disciples. The church is not a building. The church is people gathered together wherever they may be. So the gospel is the only thing that we need. It's the only essential. It is everything to the life of the church because the gospel is everything to the Great Commission, to the making of disciples. As way of illustration, since it's Scout Sunday, I was thinking about this, that in the same way, the scout oath is everything to making a scout. The scout oath and the law. Without the scout oath and the law, you wouldn't know what a scout is or who a scout was. For if someone who didn't do their best to do their duty to God and to the country and to obey the scout law, to help other people at all times or to keep themselves physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. And so without the scout oath, along with the scout law, those are the heart or the essential of scouting. And you can't have scouting. You know, you can have scouting without the uniform, as nice as the uniform is, right? But you could still have scouting without the uniform and the badges. But you can't have scouting without the oath and the law. Without them, you don't have scouting. You have something else. It's the same with the church and its mission. The gospel is essential. Without the gospel, we don't have a church. Without the gospel, we don't have a mission. The gospel is everything to the church and our mission. Without the gospel, you won't even know who a Christian is, what is a church, and if you're fulfilling the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. If we throw out the gospel, then the only thing we have is we have a nice facility in which to meet and have fellowship. It is the gospel that is everything. I'm reminded of a story concerning Bill Bright, who is the founder of Campus Crusade, who founded Campus Crusade. Maybe you've heard of that organization. In 1951, an organization that started on the University of Los Angeles. He started to reach college students, but it's really grown to a large organization that does reaches military and many other things. And I remember an article years and years ago I read about in the 50s when he was just starting to move out into different parts of the world that some of his men came to him and said, hey, we need this and we need this and we need this if we're going to reach these people in this part of the world. And Bill Bright looked at him and said, no, you don't. He said, the only thing you need is the gospel. All you need is people who are passionate about proclaiming the gospel and making disciples. And then he said, remember what the disciples did in the book of Acts. At some point it says they turned the world upside down. And did they turn the world upside down with church buildings? No. Did they turn the world upside down with slick presentations? No. Did they turn the world upside down by having the best transportation system in the world? Well, actually, they did. They had the Roman roads, but they didn't turn the world upside down with those. They turned the world upside down by the gospel and their passion and zeal to proclaim the gospel to all the nations. And Bill Bright said, that's all you need to make disciples. That's all we need. Is the gospel, and we when we look at the early disciples who turned the world upside down, they had a zeal for the gospel, they had a zeal to make disciples, and they took the gospel with them wherever they went and proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. What we learn from this is that as a church, we need to risk for the gospel. We need to risk for the gospel. That's what Jesus in this passage really was telling them. Don't take a staff. Don't take bread, don't take money, don't take a tunic. You need to trust in me and risk for the gospel. Not only that, that we need to trust God as a church for the provision that we need in order to carry out the mission that he sent us on. It's very easy to look at the size of our church and say, we can't fulfill the Great Commission. Well, the good news is we're not fulfilling the Great Commission alone anyway, are we? Every church that's a gospel-believing church is helping us fulfill the Great Commission. Whether they're Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, whatever they may be. If they're preaching the gospel and making disciples, they're fulfilling the Great Commission. But we need to trust God for us to carry out his mission, to send us out to make disciples and not worry about what we have or what we don't have. What we have is the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. But also we need to feel the urgency of the message so that unbelievers know the urgency to respond. That's the idea about shaking off the dust on their feet as a testimony against them. That's a judgment. That's their way of showing God's judgment against them, that they're under God's judgment because they refuse to repent and accept the good news of Jesus Christ. And so it was to show the urgency to those people in those villages, the urgency to respond to the good news of the kingdom of God. Do we feel that urgency of sharing that message? The early disciples did. They had that urgency, and they went and they traveled around the Mediterranean world proclaiming the good news. They preached it in everything they did, and to their co-workers, to their village, to the village people in the villages they lived in, and they proclaimed the good news. They understood the urgency to proclaim the good news, for unbelievers are under the judgment, the just judgment of a holy and righteous Creator. And so we need to feel that urgency to proclaim to them the good news. Why don't we do that? I was reading an article this week. It says because we no longer, it seems like a lot of Christians no longer believe in a just and holy Creator who will pour out his punishment on sinners and send them to a real, literal hell if we do not have this urgency to share the good news with them. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that hell is real, that God's judgment is coming in the person of Jesus Christ. Do we know the urgency of sharing the good news with those who are still under the condemnation of God, under his just condemnation for their sin, from turning away from God and turning to their own selves and their sin? And so we need to risk, we need to trust, we need to feel the urgency. The third thing we see in our text then in verses 12 and 13 is that Jesus not only gathers disciples to send them, he not only grows them to send them out, that Jesus sends disciples to go and multiply disciples. You see, that's our mission. That's the Great Commission, is that we're to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. How do you know if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you making a disciple? Are you making disciples? That's how you know you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. The disciples of Jesus Christ make disciples who make disciples. And so look at this. Look at what it says in verse 12. When we look at this, how Jesus sends out in his formula for multiplying disciples, look what it says. It says, so they went out. That's the first thing. They went out. We have to go out. Now, that doesn't mean that, hey, to be a disciple, I have to go to Africa, or I have to go to China, or I have to, but it does mean where you live, you go out. It doesn't necessarily mean you even have to leave your home. Maybe your mission field is your family. Maybe that's your mission field. But you are sent by God to proclaim the good news to your family. You have to go out. They went out. That's what they did, that to fulfill this mission, they went out. It would have done Jesus no good to call apostles and not send them out. He sent them out. And when he calls us to follow him, he sends us out to make disciples. So they went out. The second thing that we see here, it says they proclaim that people should repent. And so in verse 12, it not only they went out and they proclaimed that people should repent. This is very important because, again, you can't be a disciple if that's not part of what you're doing, proclaiming that people should repent. If you're not proclaiming the good news, then you're not going to make disciples, because it starts with that. When Jesus said, go and make disciples, the first thing you must do to make a new disciple is proclaim the good news, right? Because they've never heard it before. Or maybe they heard it before, but they haven't turned yet to Jesus Christ. And so you must proclaim to them the good news. It must be a part of what you're doing to make disciples. And so you must proclaim. Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes you have to proclaim the good news over and over and over. And sometimes you have to pray and proclaim the good news. But you must proclaim the good news. Now, this may take many forms. When you look at the Bible, the good news, especially if you just look at Acts and the sermons that are found in Acts, that often, that depending on the circumstances and the people they were talking to, that the gospel, while the gospel never changes, how you present it may change. And so it may take different ways of presenting it. Paul, when he was on the in Athens in the Areopagus, didn't present the gospel the same way that he presented the gospel when he went to the synagogues to the Jews. And so there are different ways, but the gospel itself, the basic message, never changed. God saves sinners. Amen. That's the basic message. So they proclaimed the good news. And the next thing we see, it says, and they cast out many demons, anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. And so the next thing we see is that they did good works. They did good works to validate the message. Our good works validate the message of the good news. That's why it's important that we serve one another. That's why important that we serve people in our community, that we love our community through the service that we do, that we serve our neighbor as we try to witness to our neighbor, that we serve our neighbors in that. And so they did good works, and so that people would hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But our good works, we can't do good works without proclaiming the gospel. We must proclaim the gospel. That must go with our good works. And finally, we see, this is in verse 30, if you jump all the way down to verse 30 after the passage on John the Baptist, and it says in verse 30, it says, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And so here we see again what they do. They gathered back together, like a church, right? And they gathered back together to tell Jesus, to report, to give testimony to everything that was done and that they taught, to share together in what God was doing as they proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why it's important as a church that we gather together every week, that we may praise God for what he's doing in the life of his church, in the people, that we may give testimony to how God is saving people, and that we may rejoice in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is how Jesus makes disciples and how we're to make disciples. He gathers, he grows, he goes, and that equals being sent. That's our formula. That's why if you see on our worship guide on our website, you see gather, grow, go. That encapsulates our strategy in trying to reach people, to that we gather together, we grow together, and we go together, that we might proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and that we might make disciples. This is very basic, and that's why it involves being sent. You see, we are sent to our families, whether we're a stay-at-home mom, a dad, a grandparent, a sister, a brother, a nephew, or niece. We are sent to our workplace to live out our vocation on mission to make disciples. So whether you work in D.C. or you work in Stafford County or wherever you may work, that your mission and your vocation is to proclaim the gospel and make disciples. And we're sent to our neighbors and our neighborhoods to love our neighbors as ourselves and to make disciples. We're sent to our communities to love them and serve them and to make disciples. We're sent into the marketplace to do business there and to make disciples. That's the bottom line, that we are sent, that God, through Jesus Christ, has sent us to proclaim the gospel and make disciples. And so, as we gather, as we grow, and as we go, we do it in order that we might be on mission for Jesus Christ, that we might live out the Great Commission to make disciples. And so as we do that, one of the things we want to do as a church is that we want to get the gospel out in the community as much as possible. We want to be a church that saturates our community and our neighborhoods and our workplaces with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to be a church where we live gospel-focused lives, that everything we do in life is focused on presenting and living out and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we want to be a church that does gospel multiplication, where disciples are making disciples who make disciples, who plant churches, who make disciples, who make disciples, who plant more churches, and on and on and on it goes. And in doing so, we pray that as a church, as an everyday church that is on the everyday mission of God to make disciples, that we would reach North Stafford and beyond with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe none of us will ever see that day, but that's our mission, to proclaim the gospel and to make disciples. And so, do you realize that you are sent? That you're sent, every one of us is sent to make disciples. And so let us ask ourselves, ask yourself if you would, what has God given you by which you can bless the world? What has God given you by which you can bless the world? Yesterday I got to go with Nellie and Hans and sing at Hartfield Assistant Living Place, right? And they bless those people by their singing. I don't know that my singing blessed them, but somebody, their singing blessed them. And so ask yourself that question, what has God given you by which you can bless the world? What has he given us here at North Stafford Baptist Church by which we can bless our community? Second, ask yourself, how can you, how can I, how can we as a church do it most strategically to advance the kingdom in the Great Commission? If we ask those questions over and over as we go every day throughout our day, God will give us opportunities to proclaim the good news and make disciples. So no more excuses. You're sent. You're sent to your family to go and make disciples. You're sent to your coworkers to go and make disciples. You're sent to your neighbors to go and make disciples. You're sent to your social organization to go and make disciples. You're sent to the lady who does your hair to go and make disciples. You're sent to the server at your favorite restaurant to go and make disciples. And how do you do it? You gather, you grow, and you go. And so here at our church, we gather on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Wednesday nights, and various times throughout the week and the month in order that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and in order that we might go and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and make disciples. For we are sent. Let us pray.